I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Daytime After Dark. Hi everyone, welcome to Daytime After Dark. The music kind of went crazy on me. Tonight I'm very excited to introduce our favorite guest, one of my favorite guys on Daytime, on Prime Time, on Longmont, on Santa Barbara, on L.A. Law, and may I just add, he is so good-looking. He hasn't aged a bit. From L.A. Law, oh Santa Barbara, oh ZH, and now he's on Dates playing Eduardo. Oh, yeah, I probably said that name wrong. But please welcome A. Martinez. Hi, A. Hello?
Well, somebody just said unmuted on my line. I don't think that's the right line.
Hi, A, are you there?
I'm there.
Hey,
I'm here.
Hi. Yes, hey. So how did you like your little introduction?
Yeah, that was very nice of you, although I think maybe you were overly generous in saying that I haven't aged a day, because I think I'm... But I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Well, you know, I'm doing my best.
No problem. But can you do me a little favor on Days of Our Life? Just a little? Can you please take your shirt off for calling? Take your shirt off, please. Because I'm sure your wife won't mind at all. And you are doing so good on there. And I think I have something to do with it, just my ego a little.
That's right. The last time we talked, you were trying to suggest that it would be smart if I were to get back on Daytime. I think you were maybe talking about General Hospital, though.
Yeah, but you're on Dane, my other favorite soap, but I'm kind of mad at it right now because what happened on Friday, you probably heard Bo Brady, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I am not over it. I haven't seen Jade.
No, you're not going to get over something like that anytime soon. That was an unbelievably emotional experience to witness that.
Were you on the set that day that it was
No,
happening?
I was not there. You know, I had my character has not been working very much during this massive.
No, you haven't.
Storyline, you know, they have all these, it's the leading up to the 50th anniversary celebration, you know, bringing all these elements of the show that have been there for so long, and plus this amazing story that's going on with Chad and Abby and Ben, where, you know, just like some of, you know, daily, it takes your breath away, the quality of that work, that writing, you know, it's so extraordinary, so... I totally understand why it's not a real likely time for someone who's new on the canvas to be getting a lot of time. And I'm fully enjoying watching the show, despite the fact that I'm not on it.
You know, but you and Cassie DePiva are lighting up the screen together when you guys have it on it. I just want to say the scene about you. Your daughter, I mean, you didn't know she was your daughter, and then you found out she was your daughter, Paige. And the scenes that you have with Cassie, and I'm not happy as you are. I read you quote in Soap Opera Digest, and I know they could be unquoting people. So I hear you're not as happy as the fans are about Cassie living Days of Our Life either.
Yeah, you know, it was really, really terrible news from my point of view. And, you know, I don't pretend to understand all the the ins and outs, all there's a massive overview that the writers maintain that none of us in the working cast are privy to. I suppose if you're someone who's been on the show for decades, you might have a more of a direct line to understanding what's going on. But you know, all that being said, all I can go on is the experience I have when I'm working and doing those scenes. That beat of the story with her, our story together, was so satisfying, and I think it turned out better than I could have imagined. Given that, you know, we're really, in truth, strangers to each other as actors, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, you know, when you watched us work together, you really did believe that we had this really critical, painful, deeply moving history. So I'm really, really proud of that work, and I loved doing it with her.
Yeah, and it's so, and I mean, I'm not breaking news anything, people. It's just my view. I have a feeling you're going to go end up being with Kate down the line. I don't know why I'm feeling this. I don't know. I could be wrong, and I know you can't say anything. I know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
some
yeah.
of the scenes you guys have recently, this, like, huh.
Yeah.
It could go somewhere else. I mean, I got a feeling,
there does seem to be something there. You're right. I'll just say, you know, that one thing that's really interesting about this, and in a really good way, is that the storytelling has become a lot less predictable. And you might think, oh, I see. Oh, this looks like it's going to turn into that. But, you know, no sooner do you have that assumption about a certain thing you see between a couple of characters than, you know, you'll get a script a couple of weeks later that, you know, where everything turns and goes down another street. And it's like, it's really fun to experience that when the new street you're going down is also very interesting and smart. So, you know, it's good.
And I have you going with a couple of women on the side of my head. There's Kate. There's Jennifer. Melissa Reeves is unattached. You know, I have a couple for you that, you know, in case you, because once you get women on the show and you have a family on there, then you're safe.
Yeah, that could be. You know, that may be really, really more good advice from you.
And just remember, you son Rafe, you guys had so many good scenes together. I know he really doesn't like his father right now. I can't blame him for you walking on him and his sister.
Yeah.
But just so you know, if you do get with Kate, your son Rafe has already slept with her. So just so you know, in the full context of what you all about to do, this I thought you needed to be warned, because I didn't know how far, you know, I didn't know if you were watching date all this time or whatever.
No.
So I want you to be an informed view.
Well, I appreciate that. I was sitting in Galen's dressing room. We were rehearsing for a scene we were going to do. It was right around the time when one of my very first shows as Eduardo walked into the club to get a drink. Eduardo does like to drink, I've noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
Yeah, he has a thing. So, but I noticed that, you know, Kate and he looked at each other. This is long before they ever said a word to one another, and just sort of toasted across the room, just for the sake of just acknowledging that some kind of spark went across the room. And, and Galen told me, I think Galen had seen this on the monitor like the week before or something. I think it was a week later, and he said that was his favorite. He started laughing really uproariously and said, "Oh my God, that was my favorite thing in the whole episode." And I'm thinking, really? I didn't think it was that good. And he goes, yeah, but you don't understand. See, my character's already had this affair with Kate.
Mm-hmm.
So if Eduardo were to go there, then it would put just that much more trouble down between Rafe and Eduardo.
Yeah, it would really put trouble. And, you know,
yeah.
I would love to see you maybe get involved with Victor Kiriakis. Not the Demers. I'm repeating, not the Demers. You don't need that. But how is it going there? I mean, I know you haven't looked lately, but I know they are 6 months ahead. I've had a lot more story
coming up that I've already shot. So it's not like I'm always sort of in the bushes like I've been in November. But,
can you tell us, like, when we will see you again? Because everyone's missing you. I'm missing you. And, you know, I know by now, you know, we probably won't see you for, like, the Thanksgiving episode. I thought we probably won't see you.
No, I'm going to be in, I think Wednesday. You know, like, when the show does things like a holiday, they tend to bring everybody into the tent, you know, and I remember I had something to do around Thanksgiving, so yeah, I think it's Wednesday. And but you know, one thing that's interesting about this too is that a lot of other actors have come on the show since I've come on. You know, Vincent Irizarry has come on, and
Joffre
Lavoisier has come on, and you know, there's like there's a lot of kind of development, new kind of avenues for storytelling that are opening up with the arrival of these new characters. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of stuff that, you know, you think, well, you can sort of, well, I can see how this is going to turn into this, but what is yet to be known is that there are these people coming in with tremendous energy, and you know, so the storytelling is just going off in a lot of really great directions, got to say.
Yeah, I know you cannot talk about a lot of it. And I don't want to get you fired because I love you on there, so I will cool my desk. But how's it going? Are you able to do Longmire and Days of Our Life?
Longmire got picked up. I guess it was October 30th when they picked us up. Netflix picked us up for season 5. And Longmire has really, really benefited from going to Netflix. The audience has grown.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious. I walk in the street now, and every single day someone approaches me about Longmire. Plus, a lot of the people that have come to love it are, young people, and that was always sort of the beef A&E's excuse for canceling it was it appealed to old people. I think the truth is
yeah, A&E never
A&E
knows
appeals to old people. So, yeah, I mean, I was just in Westwood yesterday, and I had a whole bunch of UCLA students come up to me and say, Jacob Nighthorse, dude, you are killing it, Jacob Nighthorse. So I know that it's working, and the great thing about my situation with Days is that they called me as I was beginning to start season 4 of Longmire, and they are very respectful of Longmire, you know, for the obvious reasons, because, you know, everybody with good taste really loves Longmire. So there, it's not going to conflict. It will work around my schedule with Longmire. The thing about something like that is, you know, a character like my character on Longmire, I'll go out there and just be gone for a couple of days and shoot my stuff in an episode. So I'm still available a lot in Los Angeles. It's not a problem.
I know you can't. I mean, just tell me, have you been able to work with one of my guys on Days who's been on the show, Wally Kuth? You know, he was also on General Hospital, but probably not at the same time as you. But probably he was. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Have you guys had any scenes together?
Well,
like,
most of our scenes have been involving the kind of issues that have arisen between he and I because of our mutual interest in the Eve character and Cassie's character.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to watch him. You know, what a great actor. And you know what else is? I the first time I ever heard your show, Carly, was the evening that you hosted Wally on your show.
Mm.
And, you know, he's a friend of mine of long standing. I mean, I've known him for a long time, you know, on various, you know, kind of levels. I haven't ever worked with him extensively, but
you guys
together,
should. You guys,
yeah,
I mean,
he's wonderful.
You guys could be buddies because Justin needs a buddy and you need a buddy, and
yeah.
You guys will, you know, would be really good. Do you have
you.
Any? Yeah. Do you guys have? I mean, do you have any new movies coming down the pike too? Oh.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I got a movie. In fact, the screening of it is just coming up next week, August, December 1st, actually. It's a movie called In Embryo, and Zahn McLarnon, who plays Matthias on Longmire, played my son in that, and it's a sort of a film noir thing that. This Dutch director, Ulrich Thompson, wrote and directed. Really beautiful, dark little tale kind of set in, you know, the kind of underbelly of Los Angeles. And both Zahn and I had a really, really good time on that movie. And I think it's, you know, it has a shot at turning into something that will kind of stand the test of time better than some other movies that I've been involved with. And I feel really good, high hopes for it. It's called In Embryo. And,
ooh.
Yeah, it should be, you know, I know it'll be going out into the festival circuit early next year, and then, you know, I'm sure we'll be into the marketplace soon thereafter. So I hope people will look for that because it's pretty special, I've got to say.
Well, and I have another idea for you. I think you should call your old buddy, Coleman Butson, and Jimmy Smith up and get an LA Law reunion on TV back up for me.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard that there were rumors about them doing a movie about it, but I don't know that they, you know, everyone is sort of dispersed into other levels. Of
yeah, I know, but...
yeah.
That was
but
my
I,
favorite.
You know, it's possible they'll make a movie. I know Harry Hamlin was spoken of. You know, he was, remember when he was on it, the very beginning, he was
yes.
like the,
mm-hmm.
he was like the, he opened up as the kind of leading guy on there. And
well, yeah, but you were my favorite guy on there. And, you know, I mean, you and Corbin Butson, you guys were the ones, I believe, after Harry Hamlin left, you guys were carrying that show, along with Jimmy Smith. And Ellie Law was the best lawyer show ever. And
yeah,
I want it back.
Show.
I mean, I watched all the lawyer shows, the medical shows. So, like, I think I'm a doctor sometimes, A, because I end up giving advice. Oh, I give lawyers advice because I really believe I know the law because of all
you know
Ellie Law.
Yeah.
And people's like, Colin, you can't do that. Like, why not? It happens on TV, so the law should be true.
I hear you.
But no, like I said, we really love you working on Dave's. You know, Dave's in the last 2 months, their rating keeps going up and up and up. And whatever Dana Higley is doing over there, power to, because she's got the views back on in Dave's. People cannot wait to see it. You know, you can complain for me if you want. And I'm not kidding on this. You guys are only on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. Like,
oh, really?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you guys are also Thursday and Friday. And I'm like thinking, okay, maybe I understand not showing dates on Thanksgiving, but Friday? So, yeah, we miss out on Friday, too.
Or maybe there's some kind of special programming that NBC's doing, you know, in regards
to
that.
It's hockey.
Oh, is it hockey, really?
Yes, it's hockey. I know for all the hockey fans, I'm a football fan and a basketball fan, so I get it. But hockey? Are you a football fan?
Yeah.
Okay, who's your favorite team right now?
I don't have a favorite team.
You
know, there's no team in Los Angeles. You know, I think my my daughter's boyfriend comes from Seattle, and you know, he's introduced her into the Seahawks, and we've been watching a lot of Seahawks games.
I'm from Seattle.
We love him, you know, and that's a great team to love, although they're having a difficult time this year. But,
yeah, don't believe me. I'm a Seahawks fan. I've lived here most of my life. And yesterday, if we didn't win the 49ers, I was watching a little of the game, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't yell that much because AIDS coming on tomorrow.
So you live in Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah, Redmond.
Well, I just got to say, it's been tough for you guys this year, but when you look at what happened last year, like the kind of miracle game against Green Bay that got that, I mean, that game, the tragedy of the Super Bowl and that one call, and everything.
The one call, yeah. You know, and I mean, a lot of people are going to say we did not deserve to even be there last year, which I disagree. I think, New England Patriots did not deserve even being in the Super Bowl with Deflategate.
Well,
so the Seahawks people are still mad.
We are still mad
at Tom Brady.
Yeah, still mad at him. Well, here's the thing. One of the hardest things to do in all of sports is stay on top in the NFL, in any professional league, but especially the NFL, because it's such a taxing game. People get beat up, and people that have great skill sets just, time is attacking you all the time because of the punishment of the game. And to see people stay as excellent as the Patriots have for as long as they have is pretty close to amazing. Plus, even with all the difficulty they've had with their offensive line having to be shuffled in and out, they still function brilliantly. Even without, some of their best players, they still managed to win a preposterously high amount of the time. So you got to respect that.
I just hope we don't have to play them again in the Super Bowl. Because people say, Seattle is going to the Super Bowl. But we have to win the next 6 games. So, I might not watch it this Sunday because it does make me nervous. But, if you ever wanted to do, your own movie, I have actor friends that come on the show all the time, and my good friend, Zay Eddie Peck. I think you guys would be really good playing brothers. So I'm just putting it out there. And you could also do it with Wally. I mean, I could write you guys the whole script and a movie if you want, because not seeing all of you guys on screen every day is really bad for the views. And, I'm glad you're back on daytime and everything. But I am going to post on Twitter, and I'm going to bug NBC that used to be on every day. I don't know if I will get listened to or not. But I can still try.
The thing is, the economic model of daytime, it's built around, long-term loyalty, and the sponsors are interested in, trying to have a really young audience so that they can have people buying their stuff for more years than, say, an older audience is not going to be able to buy their stuff as long. So it's really, and this is true of a lot of entertainment, it's youth-centric, and it's like, when I look at the stuff that, Billy Flynn and Kate Mancey and Rob Wilson have done with that storyline the past few months, I think to myself, frankly, I would rather watch them do that than watch me on there doing just about anything. So I'm like, I don't really have some illusions that, that the show is supposed to be tilting towards me at this point in time. I think, the people that are holding down the center of the show are just doing it brilliantly. They're so good. They're so compelling. They're so interesting. They're so brave and so smart. So I got no beef with that. And, which is maybe the reason why a person like me would better be served to, not stick around too long and just work, once or twice a week and not be able to do anything else, because probably what I have to do that's most valuable in the world right now as in terms of my value as a storyteller would be to be working to craft a movie where I could tell a story that would use me to good effect. And, you know, then it would be out there and it would live in the marketplace and people would watch it or not watch it whenever they wanted to, obviously, rather than me just carry a spear on a show that's on 5 days a week, but I'm not really doing much and not able to really go out and do anything else while I'm doing that. It you know, it's not necessarily a wise kind of thing to wish for to become like, you know, to have more deeper success in daytime when you're my point in a career like mine, I think.
Well,
so we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, but now that you have a family on there, I think, you know, it speaks volumes for dates. Whenever they get someone in family, they know you're on for a lot longer than people think they are. And
I hear that, you know, and that's a really cool consideration. But there's other considerations beyond just being on something a long time. You know, what really matters to me, especially as I get older, I mean, you know, you start to understand that your time is precious, and I don't. I have a lot of energy in me as an actor that will not always be there, and I know that if I don't use it while it's there, I may go to the point where, wow, I'm available, I'm free, and I'm also like too tired to do much. You know, will be the case at some point in time. So
you
kind of have to think about, you know, it happens to, you know, it's just something that happens to people.
Well, no, I mean, this one you were saying about A&E along the, you know, A&E, you're right. A&E has messed up some really good sales, took off my dog, the Bounty Hunter, so too. I was not happy with them at all. And then when I heard you so was, you know, getting cancer by them, I'm like, that's it. They are in very big trouble with me. And, you know, I mean, they want to say it's the younger audience. No. I believe it's the bottom line. Money is always the bottom line with these TV shows.
Yeah.
And if they are not making $1 million, they are not going to keep the shows, which I think is wrong for the views.
I agree. And I think a lot of people, you know, what doesn't get talked about it too much is the fact that they really wanted to own it, I think, is more probably closer to the truth of why they decided to, like, cancel the shows, because they wanted to own the stuff that's on their network. There used to be rules against that. I remember back in the day, it was considered good for the community, for society at large, if the people who owned the outlets were different from the people who made the programming. That way there had to be, like, considerations that were not about how can I load up everything into my own little company and run it from the bottom to the very top, right? How can I own every aspect of this delivery system and get as much money as possible out of it, to what I think is the detriment of the viewers in the long term? That was a rule, and it was basically attacked by the corporations that could attack it, and they finally wore down the regulatory instinct, and they got their way. So now, if they don't own it, you know, they got a beef with it. You know, it's easier to have a beef with it if you don't own it. But again, that, you know, that thing, wow, what a horrible thing A&E did to us. But in truth, it was a blessing. It was such a blessing.
Yep, it was.
Because everything about being on Netflix has improved what was already an excellent show, and it's just made it into something really magical now. So long live Longmire. And, you know, I'm not going to watch A&E ever again just because out of principle, but, you know, I do understand that the thing that I thought they did that was so terrible to us turned out to be, like, a really good thing for us. So
exactly. And just like when you go back with, say, Santa Barbara, that still, for a lot of you, is a kick in the pants, you know, because, people ask me all the time, do I think there will be a Santa Barbara reunion? Mm. See, I think that would be hard, especially, you know, now that you're on dates and, you know, a lot of that, like Misty, Melissa Reeves is on Santa Barbara, I mean on dates, but was on Santa Barbara. Zach Wagner, like a lot of people, are doing other things now, and Marcy Walker is retired. So, I would love a Santa Barbara reunion.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great, and I know there have been efforts made to see if the show could get rebooted, as it was described to me. But it's a really complicated process. You know, there's not a clear ownership apparently of the rights to it. The
mm-hmm.
rights to it are in contention among different parties. So, you know, it's not like you can go to some place and make a deal with somebody. You know, to try to go someplace and make a deal, you're walking into like this complicated, contentious situation that, you know, promises to, you know, it's the kind of thing where you could go in there and spend a great deal of time and money and come away with nothing. So, you know, even if you could imagine, you know, doing it, it's
mm-hmm.
not really a very attractive thing for people to do. So I don't think
exactly.
It's gonna happen.
Oh, yep, exactly. But I better get called on. Oh, I'm going to get sought. I mean, not really.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably will get sought. 916, you're on the air.
916, that must be me. First of all, Carly, can you hear me all right? I'm on my headset.
Yeah, who's this?
Perfect, thank you. And by the way, you are a most professional host. I just wanted to give you kudos for that.
Thank you.
You guys on a fabulous show. Mr. Martinez, 916
Sir.
Is a Sacramento area. So if I were to say, how me takula, you would probably guess that this is Tony Singing Eagle up in Sacramento.
Oh, Tony, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, dude. What a pleasure to hear your voice, man. Hey, man.
Chie, let me tell you, I spotted it by accident earlier, and I thought, should I or shouldn't I, you know, because.
Yes, you should.
And I thought, yes, I should. Yes, exactly. You know, we have, you know, not to get into anything personal, but I mean, it's the stuff that you and I've talked about and chatted about and whatever it about is, that's one thing. But I got to tell you, I so admire you as an artist. You got some hellacious acting chops, mate. Really, the stuff that you're doing currently on both Jays and Longmire is unbelievable. By the way, congratulations on the season 5 pickup. Somebody must have been doing some phone calling.
yeah, I hear you. It's
inside
like
jokes,
it's like
yeah.
a miracle. It's a miracle, and it really exists. You know, like
yeah.
this wonderful group of people that really care.
It just seems to be, and you know, and I don't want to just say, the thing is, see, I'm still trying desperately to wean myself off of GH. I mean, I've hung out in Fort Chuckles for so long, I'm so used to it, and I'm really trying to make the switch over, and now I've got two that I'm trying to balance and stuff. The stuff I've seen you do on days, you know, there in Salem is just nothing short of magic. You got, and the thing that I love about both shows, I have to say this, is that they are so, the production values, and I'm speaking as somebody in the are so high, it's absolutely ridiculous. I had no idea until when I first tuned into Days, I was blown away. I mean, they've got some really sharp production. And I talked to you about the photography, the cinematography
right.
on Longmire. Just
right. I was just noticing the last couple of days, actually. You know, I notice it periodically, but never more than in the stuff that happened on Friday and today on Days. Just the really wonderful use of music. You know, the scoring has been so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these incredibly poignant kind of passages, and the music has been so supportive of it in just a perfect way. You just think, wow, this is perfect. So I really give a lot of credit to the production values, you know, that happened in post-production beyond what we get on camera, you know, on the day. It's really impressive.
And I got to tell you, that's another side of me that we may not have mentioned before. You might not know this, but my degree was in music composition. Eastman School of Music, film scoring and all that. So I know what they're doing, even though it's basically on a synthesizer now. With samples, I mean, you can't, you know, there's no budget to pull in a full orchestra, but the stuff
exactly.
that they do is still
mm-hmm.
compositionally absolutely bang on. It's so incredibly tight. And not just there. I mean, I've heard some stuff that you can tell, like, I listen to it and say, okay, this guy's got some writing chops. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah, right,
other
right.
people just sort of sit at the keyboard and make mood music. And that's pretty pathetic when that happens. But you guys, you're on two shows that are absolutely killer right now. I was going to ask you, if I had one thing to ask as a fan, how do you feel about the current state of the art in terms of professionals, meaning like yourself, actors, writers, lighting technicians, directors, etc., versus, dare I say this, the genre that popped up several years ago called reality TV. I find everything I see about what the stuff you are doing or the stuff that you're in such a breath of fresh air, and it's almost like people are saying, we're kind of tired of the crap. We really want quality entertainment that is thought out and well produced.
Hmm. Well, you know, yeah, I'm with you, and I hear you. The bottom line is that a couple things. It's cheaper to make reality TV, and among the reasons it's cheaper is that you don't have to actually. You can pretend that no one is writing it. When you actually do, scripted drama, you have people that have devoted their lives to becoming adept at creating scripts, and you have to pay them accordingly. But with reality TV, you get to have people kind of like, you know, anybody who's, you know, willing can come in and ghostwrite, basically, or the producers can supposedly suggest to the people on the show that if they were to do a certain thing or speak a certain way or say a certain thing, they probably would get more camera time, you know, stuff like that. So it's
right.
It has that it benefits from the illusion of being unwritten, which allows them to not pay writers. But, you know, the thing I always, you know, my prayer is that that if there's a vacuum, it'll be filled. And I think you speak to what I hope is the operating dynamic, which is that people are tired of being pandered to and this lowest common denominator thing. A lot of people love it, obviously, but I would hope that group is dwindling rather than growing. And I think when you actually start to look at the alternatives that have popped up as like kind of quality drama has migrated over onto this kind of giant kind of landscape of largely what used to be called cable TV, it's a very encouraging development. I mean the stuff that HBO has done in the last few years, and now that Netflix coming up with House of Cards out of the blue,
mm-hmm.
you know, you start to see, okay, you know, there's another way of looking at this. And for my money, it's particularly wonderful when it becomes a direct relationship between the viewers and the filmmakers or the series makers, where, okay, if you will pay a premium to get this material, we will deliver it to you straight, and you will not have to, like, have middlemen trying to sell you stuff in the middle of our storytelling. And I just find that so refreshing, you know, to actually be able to sit down with the story and just stay in the story and not have it be tweaked artificially so that for 3 minutes somebody can, like, stick ads in my face. I just love that so much. And, you know, that is a hallmark, I think, that has developed because there's been a need to, like, take this game elsewhere and get it away from the scourge of reality TV. At least that's my fantasy about the way it should work. It's a great question, though, Mike. Great question.
And it's like, it has to be that way because I've heard you say storytelling, and you're a storyteller. As
mm-hmm.
whether it's an actor, and I'm gonna assume you've done some directing and writing. It's obvious. And by the way, the comment I made before, I know you don't have time now, but I mean, Teo Pinglis has two books out now. I would think keep that in mind because you are a prolific communicator.
Training, you right?
Some of the stuff that you come out with and post is it engages those of us that can last more than a few seconds, like 140 characters on Twitter. It engages us and makes us think. And so for that, like, just keep that in mind. But the whole storytelling thing, I mean, like my Lakota ancestors, the whole thing was storytelling, passing it on. You've got stories to tell, pass them on. And so what we do and what you do as part of that equation is such an artistic thing that is sometimes overlooked because it's not seen as fine art. Well, I beg to differ. It's absolutely fine art because you are a prolific actor. You get the point across. I see Eduardo completely different as Jacob. And by the way, the highest compliment that I can pay when I see you doing those roles, you know, I don't see my friend A. I see that character.
Mm.
And that's,
well, that's
like...
Thank you.
So you got anything coming up anytime soon? Boy, wait, I know something I wanted to definitely ask you. I've been wondering for years, and then I'll let you guys go. Have you ever done stage?
Yeah, I have, actually. In fact,
yes,
I was
he
just,
has.
Yeah, I've done, and it's been so wonderful, you know, to actually get back to it more. It demands a great deal of time, obviously, and energy. But I did Blood Knot 3 years ago that Louis Gossett Jr. directed, Oscar Best and I in Blood Knot, very successfully, an extraordinary experience, actually, and, you know, the kind of thing where it was really galvanizing to the audience. And I think really, really helped me reestablish a deeper level of confidence in my work. There's nothing quite like it when it's a two-character play and it's incredibly intense and primally difficult to get through it. And when you actually not only do it, but do it in a way that people respond to really enthusiastically, it definitely makes you feel more confident about taking more chances in your work. So that was a great experience. And then I did God of Carnage last year and was actually hoping to do Of Mice and Men this coming year, but it looks like the space we were going to try to do it in is not going to be available to us. So, you know, yeah, but it's all good. And it's a really good question. I think it speaks to an obvious kind of inescapable truth that, that to actually go back there and do that and put yourself in a position where, you know, you have to carry the performance through a couple of hours in a dark space where there's no take to, no safety net, as it were.
Right.
It really does force you to get in touch with the very best version of your chops. And it's been a real blessing for me.
Wow. Carly, may I ask real quick, I'm assuming you've got a full cue?
No, I mean, a little, but that's okay. You, see, as soon as you called me professional, you had me at hello. So, you know, really, you know, you can just talk, and that's fine. But, Tony, do not give up on General Hospital. Don't.
I want all full soaps,
okay? And, okay, sometimes I want to throw my remote at the TV with General Hospital and Y&R and B&B, and right now I want to kill Dave for killing Bo. But just hang in there with General Hospital, Tony, because you have my niece Bernard.
You might want to take a break on this. Carly, the thing is, see, I got hung on General Hospital years ago when I was working in broadcast television. They had it was an ABC station in Colorado, and they had it playing. You're not going to believe this, but it happened to be Luke and Laura's wedding. And it was the very day they stuck me up in the for whatever reason. I was a copywriter producer, and they said, well, by the way, you got to cover lunch here during whatever hours it was, and I saw the actual wedding. I got hooked on the story, but because of this, I got hooked on the story was because I am a writer, I am a producer, I am a, you know, so it's hard for me to, and I've always said this, it's awkward for me to be a fan like other people's are a fan. I'm a fan of, like, my buddy Teo Penglis. I am a fan of his acting. I just like his work. Sonia Eddy, I just love her work. And same thing with Eddy. So it's awkward for me sometimes to just sit back and just enjoy it. I've been with GH forever, but because my, you know, my friends are now over on the other show, I'm trying to shift over and watch it. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's like, it's a balancing act.
Well, Tony, if you ever want to come on the show and talk, so talk what you've been doing, I would love to interview you.
Oh, my Gideon. Oh, okay, I didn't hear
you're
that.
A wise woman, Carly.
What? You're the only person that I signed, that I, when I messaged you, I signed T at the end. It's because you called me that.
I
should not like go T Singing Eagle, I guess.
Has all my information, Tony. So please, I want you on the show. You know, and I want something I go after. Ask A. And, you know. Yes, yeah, so, yeah, I would love to interview you.
Nope. Problem. I'm an ex studio rat who was 63 years old, and I'm a freelance photographer, video producer, web designer, whatever. And so but I've been around the block.
A has my email address, so please email me like after Thanksgiving, because I want to get the ball rolling and get you on here.
Send you her email address, Tony.
Okay. I expect something in your inbox in the next week or so, kind of something special.
Thank you, sir. Great talking to you.
Talk to you soon, Tony.
Guys, goes. You may unmute me now.
Okay. Bye, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now we are going to 954. You're on the air.
Hi, it's David.
Hey, David.
Hey, David.
I'm a Facebook friend of yours. We talk all the time on Facebook.
What's your last name, David?
Burgess.
Oh, yeah, sure, David. How are you, man?
Okay. Well, I asked you all my question on Facebook. You're in my favorite movie, Chucky. What was the icebreaker on that film, Chucky?
Chucky?
Yeah.
Well, it was great, Brad Dourif is among my heroes. He's one of the most amazing actors. I think he's one of those guys that other actors sort of hold in the highest regard. He's a star, obviously, but among actors, he's an even bigger star than he is with the public. I think he's one of those people that you just hold with a lot of reverence. So the idea of getting to be in the franchise that he carries, that was really exciting to me. Turns out that the creator of Chucky, this guy Don Mancini, used to be a fan of Santa Barbara, so he was aware of me in a really good light, and obviously is somebody who has paid enough attention to me to know that I'm not that guy that I was when I was playing Cruz, but the kind of skill set that I bring now was something he could work with in terms of playing that priest character in that movie. You know, they were looking for somebody that had a certain gravitas, is the way he and his partner put it. And I think I did a good job of delivering that kind of gravitas to them. As long as, for the length of time that Chucky allowed me to hang around.
Also my favorite scene, the dinner scene. How many takes that dinner scene y'all chewing and the cat was panting on all your mouth? That's my favorite scene. Like Chucky put poison in your food.
I know. That was so beautiful, the way he shot that scene, the way...
Yes.
The table spun around so you lose track of which dish it is that's got the poison in it, and it was just beautifully done. And then, I really felt like that Chucky and I had a moment, where I sort of realized that something was wrong with the doll, and it's like, You could almost sense that, you know, he was getting the last laugh just sitting there in the little girl's lap, you know. But I loved it. Plus, you know, I love the way, I don't want to give too much away, David, but, you know, I love the way that, you know, my character exited the movie.
Yes, I remember when I read, got hit, chopped off.
Yeah, you know that one, right? I mean, when I read that scene, I thought, okay, now, that's a scene that that anyone who ever sees that scene, they're never going to forget it. Even if they want to forget it, they're not going to be able to forget it. Right?
Yes.
So,
that movie gave me nightmares. I just want to say,
I
saw it like 3 o'clock in the morning. Thought I would be fine. I ended up hiding under my covers for the rest of the night, and I had a flashlight in one hand, and then I was gonna get a knife, and then I thought, okay, no, because my grandma sometimes comes visit me in the morning. And I thought, okay, if I accidentally stab her, it's not a good idea. But
that's a terrible
thought. I mean, you were great in that movie, but that movie scared people.
No, you're supposed to watch that movie at 11 o'clock in the daytime, and then when it's out, you can go outside and the sun's shining and the breeze is in the trees, and you realize that it was
I mean, yes. David, do you have any other questions, buddy?
Yeah, I got one more question.
Okay.
Did you work with John Wayne?
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, he was so much larger than life to me, David. It was like, there have been a few people that I've met where, you know, you've been thinking of them in ways where they don't seem human almost. You know, they seem to be bigger than human, right? And it's like, it's hard to be around people like that, you know, and to feel comfortable. I mean, I loved that I got to do that. And I loved that I had a job to do with him. So there was, when I was actually doing the acting, that I could, I could be with him and we could be, you know, working together and talking to each other in terms of the work that was passing between us. But when the scene was over and I was standing next to the guy, I mean, I just didn't have any idea what I could possibly say to him because, you know, it's like it's like standing next to, like, Mount Rushmore or something, you know. It's like,
yeah.
We saw every one of his movies when I was a kid. We always were at the drive-in. My parents made us wear our pajamas because we would fall asleep on the way home from the drive-in. I felt like that little kid in his pajamas standing next to John Wayne. And so, you know, I didn't have much to say to the dude. It wasn't actually until the cast party at the end of shooting, when I'd been drinking a fairly significant amount of tequila, that I had the nerve to actually go up to him and really start. I probably told him way more than he wanted to hear about how much I admired him. But it was a great experience, and I love the fact that, you know, you look at that movie today, and it works every bit as well as it did in 1970 when it came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was great talking to you in person, finally. And you're doing a great job on Days. You know that big work.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Okay, David, I will put you on hold, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris, you're on the line.
Hey, caller, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hey, Martinez, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Chris, how are you?
All right. I'm okay, more or less. I'm having relatives coming over tonight. Okay, I imagine you remember back in the mid-90s when Days of Our Lives infamously had a demon possession storyline where poor Marlena got possessed by a demon and stuff. Like, do you think Santa Barbara should have had a storyline in which someone like Eden Capel got possessed by a demon or not?
Well, that's a really interesting question. You know, I'm not really sure I don't know what the audience thought of that, if it was good for the ratings and stuff. But I always thought I just saw like a clip of it, when they did there was like a some kind of a special package of clips over the years that was put together for, might have been the 50th anniversary or maybe sometime just before that. And, you know, I'm looking at all these clips over the history of Days, and they're all so interesting, you know, like we've just been watching lately, you know, all this stuff looking back between Bo and Hope and Peggy McKay's character back in the day, and, you know, Steve and Kayla back in the day and stuff, and a lot of John and Marlena. But the minute that demon story shows up in the thing, I completely fall out of the clip, because to me, now we're no longer in the realm of what I consider to be believable drama. It just seems like it's, it seems like a trick, you know. And I get that, you know, the idea of demons and possession and stuff has a lot of power among the you know, the viewing audience, and you know, there's a, you know, we're real sensitized to those things, a lot of us. But I personally, I don't go there. So when I see suddenly her eyes are glowing and she's got a weird way of talking and stuff, I just go, you know, okay, let me change the channel. I'm not interested in this at all. So I'm glad that Santa Barbara didn't do that. I thought, you know, and again, that's just one person's opinion, man. But like for me, my, you know, to me, there's such power in actually examining the real stuff that people go through, without having to turn to these levels of fantasy that, you know, some people love it, and a lot of people suddenly get kind of dropped out of the show because of it. Did you like that story?
In the mid to late 90s, I didn't really like watch. I can't say I watched an episode of Days all the way through, but I would routinely catch the end of Days and we'll wait for the 4:30 news to come on a certain channel. So that's it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I did remember.
Well, I watched it, and I thought they should have never gone there with Marlena, and the bed, her widening above the bed freaked me out. I was like 13 or 14, and no, I don't think the age right. They should have never gone there.
Well, obviously they survived it, you know, in terms of,
yeah.
when you're telling 50 years of story, you know, you're going to go in a lot of different directions, and not all of them are going to satisfy all the people who watch. You know, I can't really criticize it in terms of, you know, in terms of it being, I mean, you know, obviously, who can criticize a show that has worked for 50 years, right? But,
exactly.
That just is the one thing that I, you know, personally, you know, just don't really have a lot of way to kind of follow that story and stuff. What was your favorite story on Santa Barbara, Chris?
To tell you the truth, I didn't, like, have no recollection of ever watching Santa Barbara during its initial NBC run. You know, like, I was a young boy, and I was more interested in cartoons and daytime soaps, so, sorry.
Oh, I see.
But
I see.
It's just, I literally became a fan thanks to things such as, like, YouTube and stuff, so.
It's amazing, isn't it, that because of YouTube, you know, that basically, you know, the show has like a, you know, an odd kind of life after its passing. It's just astonishing to me that that's the case, you know. I remember with the Cowboys, my youngest brother, he went to Warner Brothers sometime during the 1970s, and he actually went to the studio and said, I'd like to get a videotape of this movie, The Cowboys, with John Wayne. And they said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, my brother A was in this movie with John Wayne, and I'd like to give him a videotape of that movie as a gift for Christmas or his birthday or something. And they said, are you crazy? You can't get videotapes of movies, right? And, of course, this was only just before it became like this explosion of availability of everything, right? So we're lucky. I think we're lucky. I know there's there are so many people around the world that have really curated episodes of shows that they've loved, and Santa Barbara has been very much benefiting from that attention, you know, that affection, that respect. And I love the fact that, you know, I can occasionally, if I can spare the time, go back and look at some of the stuff we did. I mean, the best stuff that we did on that show is stuff I'm really proud of, you know. And so it's quite wonderful to know that if you really want to, you can go there and kind of taste that again after all these years. It's a really special thing to know you can do in the world. I'm very grateful for it.
Well,
perfect. Yeah, Chris, do you have any more? Because I have time for one more call. So
okay, I'll ask one more question. Like, hey, how was it like to work with Linda Day George on the TV movie Death Among Friends? I meant, like, I watched some of it over the weekend, and like, it was an unsold pilot in the mid '70s, you know.
Right. Well, it was good. I loved that job, and of course, you know, hopes that it would turn into a series, actually, which would have been really extraordinary, but that never happened. One thing I do remember about that job, though, I remember looking at myself and thinking, I need to get healthier. I had a sense that it was one of those moments where you kind of, like, take stock of yourself and you think, you know, I could afford to be thinking more about how much exercise I'm getting and how I'm eating and stuff. I just, my appearance made me think I needed to, like, alter my behavior. And that was always, anytime something happens that makes you assess your behavior in a way that makes your life get better is a good thing. And that's, oddly enough, one of the things that I remember mostly about that gig, actually. It's great talking to you, man. I always enjoy talking.
One more thing before I go, like, just a comment. Like, I can't say I haven't fantasized about Linda Day George playing Marcy Walker's mother. Okay. Take care.
I could see that. Yeah, be well, man.
Bye. Okay, my best friend and my second mom is on the phone, Maggie. Hey, Maggie.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Maggie, how are you doing?
Oh, great. I'm so thrilled that you've honored us with being on again. It was a delightful interview.
No, Carly, he knows that. No, I'm kidding, but maybe not. Maggie, when we were talking about Abe the other day and how much we really love his performance on Dates, but don't we want to know what happened to his ex-wife, Gabby and Rafe's
mother.
Mom?
Mother.
Yeah, we want to know. We want to know.
Any ideas?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think and I pray that I can actually say, without getting punished, that we're going to find out a lot about her.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yay. So, you know, I tell you, sometimes I say things and then I get a phone call. So I don't want to be like the person who made any big announcement about anything. But I just I think it's worth knowing that, you know, it might be coming. It was described to me at one point in time as like, sort of the obvious next step. And I got to say, well, you know, that sort of makes sense, right? You have these children and their father, and you know there's all this contention and stuff, and you know it's sort of like you got to wonder what's going on there.
We think you and Wave will, you know, and you know, be battling, maybe be fun down the line. You cannot expect Wave to love you as a son, and Waldo. You know, right now. But down the line, I could see them having, like, a friendship.
Yeah, I think I got to tell you, you know, and this will start to be clear pretty soon, I think. I've sort of lost track of the, you know, the kind of relationship between what it is we shot when and when it's actually going to be on TV. 6 months is a long time on a soap.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of weird.
When you were doing General Hospital, you guys were, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, way
back?
Yeah,
2 and 3 weeks has always been the case, at least my memory of things. So this is really different. But, you know, the thing is that we have one thing that I mean, Eduardo is a horrible mess, right? He's obviously a guy who's
redeemable.
Who's really, really wounded.
He's redeemable.
Yeah, that could be, and I would hope. But the thing is that even as wrecked as he is at the center, and I think at the center he's pretty wrecked. You know, it was described to me that he has learned how to be charming in the world, and I think that empowers a person to behave in ways that are, you know, more fun to watch sometimes. And I have really loved the times where, especially with Galen, but with Camila also, where I've actually been able to have some fun, you know, where we've actually been able to kind of just sneak around the edges of, this is what it would be like if we were not always so mad at each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We actually maybe could sort of enjoy each other's company once in a while. You know, that's been a fun kind of flavor to investigate, and especially when you're working with actors who are so delightful in real life, you know, as is the case with Galen and Camila. You know, there's so much light coming from them as people, and it's really fun when you can bring that light into the work between you. I love that so much.
Well, yeah, and you know, we just love you on days, and you know, maybe I told him when you went on the air that we would like to see him on Mo, but by now he can't be on Mo because we have to go through the grief stage of the bow dying, you see.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the show has been great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
We're going to go up to my daddy's house, and I'm going to hang with my brothers and my sister up there. And you know, we're basically staying close to home. We used to go away to visit like our long term kind of hippie clan of friends. But as we've all gotten older, and you know, and a lot of our parents have passed on. You know, we have more responsibility for being the heads of our own households now. So a lot of us are kind of staying closer to home, which is what we're going to do. You know, and have a lot to be thankful for this year. A lot of us. So it'll be good to pause and do that. It's always such a wonderful thing to do.
Eat every 2 hours on Thanksgiving. Because if you eat a couple every hour, then you're not that full. But if you, like, do what I do every year, I start with the appetizer, and then I just go for the turkey and the mashed potato. Well, the turkey skin. I don't like the turkey sometimes. But if you go that way, you get full faster, and then you might not have room for dessert. So just remember, you have to leave dessert, you know, because if you don't, it's sad. It's sad because you're looking at the pumpkin pie, and you want the pumpkin pie, and you are like, full.
Man.
So,
hard to beat the pumpkin pie. And does the pumpkin pie have whipped cream on it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Real whipped cream.
Yeah. I mean, we are going to my brother's and my sister-in-law's, and my brother and his wife, and four kids are finally back from Idaho for the week. And then my other sister will. So it's like everyone's actually going to be there. And because with, you know, my brother living in Idaho, we are never together for the holidays anymore. And I'm like, okay, people, but can we have dinner around 2 or 3 for Carly can sleep in? And I don't know. They haven't told me what time Thanksgiving is, and I'm hoping it's a little later before I can just sleep in, because I'm the only one without kids, so I think I should sleep in, but it totally depends on the people that, you know, has kids. But we want you back on whenever you're doing, when you need to promote Long Mo, that new movie you were telling me about, you are so welcome to come on anytime.
Thank you, Carly. I appreciate
it.
Yeah, even if you're bored one Friday night, you can just call in. That's fine. please, if you see Wally on set, please tell him Carly says hi, and please tell him Justin is doing a great job, too.
I will, and you're right. He is. His work is so fun. He's so just a great actor. I will tell him that for you.
Yeah, thank you, and have a great night.
Okay, you too. Good, great talking to you guys.
Okay,
bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.
Thanksgiving.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, that was A. Martinez, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, are you still on?
Who, me?
Tony, are you still on?
Actually, yes, I am.
Hi,
Tony.
Can you hear me? Well, we are ending the show now. We are ending the show. But, Tony, please get AIDS contact information, and I cannot wait to interview you.
That's going to be so much fun.
No problem. How do I find it?
Just ask A. He has all my contact info.
Can I contact you through Blog Talk Radio?
Sure.
No,
Daytime After Dark.
Okay, Daytime
no
After Dark, 1976 at yahoo.com.
Could you do it one more time, just a little slower, please?
Okay, Daytime After Dark.
Hang on.
1976 at yahoo.com.
Got it.
Okay, have a good night, everyone. David, have a good night. And I hope everyone has a good weekend. Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night. Thanksgiving.